And that's a big reason, God not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. You know, I guess we'll have plenty of time to understand and realize what heaven will be. But if you die and go to hell, I don't know of anything tonight worth that. But in the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, in verse number 11, the Bible said, "And I saw heaven open." Now, I've got a comment right there. Won't it be terrible during the tribulation when heaven's closed? I'm so glad tonight heaven's open. Heaven's still open for preaching. I'm glad He's still giving preachers a message to preach. Listen to me, church. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad we've got a copy of the King James Version of the Bible. After this series of Revelation, I feel impressed in my heart we're going to do a King James study on Wednesday night for a few nights. But you know something? I'm glad heaven's open for preaching. Where would you be? And I'm not putting no feather near my bald head tonight. I just want to ask you something. If I'm an evangelist, where would you be without a preacher? How many times has God give you a word through His preacher? Through a Sunday school teacher? Where would we be tonight? I'm glad heaven's open. I'm glad that it's open for preaching. I'm glad heaven's open for praying. Thank God we have got the Lord Jesus sitting on the right hand side of the Father making intercession for me and you. I got a text Monday morning, really helped me. A lot of you don't understand the kind of day that our church had Sunday. How much so blessed you are, and well, how the devil loves to beat the man of God down Sunday night and Monday. But I got a text I really needed. And that text said, "Pastor, my little boy came, got us up last night after we went to bed, and said, 'Mama, I need to hand some of those papers out at school because I got some little buddies going to die and go to hell.'" See, that's what we need. We need the Holy Ghost to get into bed with us and stir our hearts for sinners. And let us realize that heaven's still open for praying tonight. God, I'm glad I'm living in a day when heaven's open. This morning I went to my altar and I prayed, "God, thank You that heaven's open. My Lord," He said, "I saw heaven open. Wouldn't it be a bad time if heaven was closed? Wouldn't it be so if our God had a in-office sign, 8 to 5, and gone at lunch and couldn't pray at lunch? But I'm glad tonight, friend, heaven's open. And when we're going to do something for Jesus before we go home, we better be accessing heaven tonight and realizing that's where all our help comes from. Let me tell you something. I was thanking God this evening. Brother David, Brother Tim, I was thanking God this evening what kind of people we got in this church. And I was thanking God so much the way He's blessed us. But you know something? If God closes heaven on this place, we'll lock the doors. We've got to have heaven opened on Liberty Baptist Church. And I'm so glad that we're serving a God tonight that heaven's open for preaching and heaven's open for praying. And heaven's open for sinners tonight. Now, I'm glad heaven's not closed that somebody can't get saved. Boy, aren't you glad there's somebody in heaven that's watching us and listening? Can you just think, you know, we think a lot of things, but can you imagine God's in heaven looking at us right now tonight? These tiles ain't hiding the eyes of God tonight. Not only does He see us, but He sees what's in us tonight. He's looking on the inside. He don't look the way we do. God looks on the heart. Oh, I'm glad that I've got a heart this evening that can get into heaven. And here we find in these last days, after this great tribulation period, when heaven's been closed, matter of fact, the Bible said men would call upon death and death would flee. They could not die. The whole time right now, this world's laughing and shaking their fist at God. But I'm going to show you tonight, friend, He's going to have the last laugh. And so we see here that the heaven opened and a white horse. And boy, isn't that a fitly color for Him to come back on somebody as pure as our Jesus is. He's never made a mistake. Being a man, yet God, He never had a sinful thought. Never done an unrighteous deed. That's amazing about this man. He returns on a white horse, and He's got a name. His name was called Faithful and Truth. I was praying today, God, show these families what they're doing, who You are. God, prove to Yourself to these people where You said, give and it shall be given. God, prove to these people through their children that You honor faithfulness. God, prove it to their families and their homes that it's nobody like You. There's nobody like Him to serve tonight. His name is Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doeth judge and make war. See, you and I can't do that. In the flesh we judge. And in the flesh we make war. But in His righteousness He judges. Matter of fact, you won't judge me that day and I won't judge you. He's going to judge all of us by His righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire. That's not the first time we've seen that. We found that in Revelation chapter number 1. He sees all things. His feet is brass. And on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Well, isn't it amazing? When we see Him on that white horse, and He's going to have on His vesture a blood red garment. And look what the Bible says that it is. The Bible says with a vesture dipped in blood. Wonder whose blood that is. Boy, it's still the blood. Can you imagine when we see Him in front of us riding on that white stallion? And we see Him sitting on that snow white horse and there He is in His blood dipped garments. What a Savior. You say, preacher, I don't like this bloody gospel. You'll die and go to hell without the bloody gospel. He thinks a lot about the blood, friend. Matter of fact, when God's seeing Him, He's seeing His blood. And there we are, lined up behind Him. Thank God it's still the blood tonight. And so we see, and he has not only a name of faithfulness, but we see that He has another name. He said His name is called the Word of God. Now, isn't that amazing? In John chapter number 1, and I want to share with you a verse that I didn't read last week. In John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, this does not imply a start, but a state. God has always been. Jesus has always been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, preacher, I can't understand all that. Now, there's God, there's Jesus, and there's the Holy Ghost, and they all three are God. Well, preacher, I can't understand. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, watch what your Bible says. Verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The Jews wouldn't have Him, and thank God they would. You ever thought about what God would have done with the Gentiles if the Jews would have accepted Him? I've often wondered, what would have been the plan of God if the Jews would have received Him. But since they would not receive Him, He turned to the Gentiles. The Bible said in verse 12, but as many as received Him. I've heard men say, you don't have to receive Christ. I mean, the elect of God, they just going to be saved. They never have to make no commitment. Let me tell you, the elect of God will get saved, friend, but everybody gets saved has to receive Him. But as many as received Him. You say, preacher, I'm going to heaven. All right, right here's one of the best verses to know, are you going to heaven? When did you receive Him? A lot of you have been good people all your life, raised in a church all your life. You joined the church. I'm not asking you that. When did you receive Christ? A big difference. Friend, listen, you listen to this preacher. There's going to be multitude of people die and go to hell, good people. Because our goodness is as filthy rags. It's not joining a church at revival time. It's when the Holy Spirit has got you lost and you realize you're a sinner and you came to Christ by faith and you received Him. Now verse 18 is what I want to deal with. For as Christ says the Word, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. That word means unfold. In other words, God sent His Son, the Word of God, to tell us about God. And so if you bypass Christ, you can know nothing about God. Remember the Bible said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what's sweeping our country. You watch now. It's religion. I know a lot of you say, Pastor, you just stay on the same drum all the time. Well, something about sheep. Sheep have short memory. And we just get glazed over and we forget about the basic fundamentals of the faith. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Now the Muslims that's trying to build that mosque downtown New York. Okay, you know what everybody said? Well, it's fine. That really don't hurt much. Don't hurt much. See, this was sweeping our nation. They serve Allah. They serve God. Isn't that okay? No, it's not. If you bypass Christ, you die and go to hell in your sin. Muslims say that Christ was a prophet. He was not the sacrifice. They bypass Him and try to get to Allah. Honey, let me tell you, they do not serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob like we do tonight. For if you're going to know about our God, our Jesus is going to declare Him to you. And so that's sweeping our nation. And everybody that knows little about a King James Bible, little about the Word of God, they accept that. Well, listen, they're good people. Man, they've got a Koran and we've got a Bible. Let's just hobnog and love them and everybody get together. Make one big old church together. And what you got is one big old mess. Most folk today don't know if they're a pig or a possum. Somebody say amen right there. Honey, I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. It's Jesus or it's hell tonight. It ain't no in between. It ain't a doing good. It ain't a being baptized. It ain't a joining the Muslim world. It ain't joining the Christian world. It's being born again by the grace of God when the Holy Ghost comes to you and draws you as a sinner. There ain't no two ways about it, honey. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll never back up off that doctrine, off our book. And it's sweeping our country. Isn't it amazing? It's okay to say something about God. But if you make a statement about Jesus, you've drawn a line in the sand about what you believe. Can you imagine? I'm amazed what's going on in our nation. I'm amazed how gullible people are and what they swallow that ain't even in our Bible. Tell me how a New Testament pastor could be pastoring the largest church in America and will dogmatically not say that Jesus is the way to heaven. What's wrong with people? Do they not have a copy of the Word of God? Why would a Colosseum be packed under a man that would not even preach to them the truth of the Word of God? Why would people even go to that kind of foolishness? The devil swept them with blindness. And you listen to me, people. I love you. I love you more than my blood family. Some of them. But if I get out of that book, I'm as wrong as you are. And it don't make a rip who I am, where I've been. If I come off that book, I'm wrong. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except what? By Him. And you better stand on that. And that's what you better be teaching your children. It amazed me when they're discussing about this mosque in New York. You listen, it was a panel full of participants the other night. And all I hear is about the hurt feelings of the families that's lost. Hey, I agree with that. What a sad day for America. But I tell you what a sadder day in America is when they realize how they're corrupting our nation. That's a sad day, friend. Our forefathers would not have stood for it. But see, we've got liberal. Nothing's wrong no more. We've got corporate America. I seen it at Pepsi-Cola before I left. Corporate America. Now, Ken, you better back off that now. This ain't a church. What's that got to do with anything? That's the book, whether I'm at Pepsi-Cola or at the church. It's the book, Brother David. Brother Tim, it's the book. If I'm in the post office or at Southwire or at the Five and Dime, it's the book. It's the book. And I don't care if it's my young'uns or your young'uns or your grandpa or my grandma. If they out of the book, they out of the book. So Jesus is the Word of God. And verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed Him. Up on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Isn't it amazing that our leaders dipped in blood? And the only reason we're sitting there in those clean white garments, it's nothing we've done, friend. It's because of our bloody Savior that hung and died for us to wash us from our sins. And so we follow Him. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horse, clothed finely in white and clean. Now, I got hung up here the other Wednesday night, and I've got to move on. I'll never get out of this chapter. There's so much preaching there, it's unbelievable. But there's armies in heaven. It ought to be armies here. We ought to be so united at Liberty Baptist Church. We ought to be so united in the Church of America, it ought to be unbelievable. We ought to stand. I don't know why churches backed off. I do know why they backed off of it. Because of money, mainly. And crowds. Let me tell you, the right kind of crowd, nothing's wrong with it. The wrong kind of crowd is bad news, friend. And a lot of you, sometimes you say, well, preacher, I don't know why you're so hard on things, and I don't know why you say things. Why don't you just calm down? Because I tell you what, we'll ice over in the world to take our church. And I don't know no other way to do things except the way I've been doing them a long time. Preaching's worked. Amen? You tell me, why would a Baptist church ordain women deacons? That's out of this book. There's a church right now in North Carolina. They're looking at a woman, First Baptist pastor that I know of. It's coming. They've got liberal. This is what happened. Now watch, this is what happened. Our church is full here on Sunday morning. You can Sunday night is pretty good. We get a B+. Wednesday night, C+. B-. Sometimes, now go on, help me preach now. But this is what happened. Okay, we go in a building program. Average Baptist church, Sunday morning, go in a building program. Now, if we do get to expand a wall or two, I don't know what it'll cost, but God will have it if God says do it. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. This is where churches get in trouble, Brother Randall. They go above their means. They spend about $4 million, get them a Taj Mahal. And then here goes the members say, oh, now our preacher, he's preaching a little too much. We can't pay the bills around it. People's leaving. So this is what you better do before you go to build it. You better realize that you done been a preaching gun barrel straight. And you can keep doing what you started out doing. Amen. And so they start compromising. Well, you know, it's okay to do this, and it's all right. Just let them do that. Don't ruffle nobody. Don't ruffle nobody. Let me tell you, it's about time that a preacher stood up this book and said, this is the way it is, and we're going to love sinners, and we're going to preach the gospel, and we're going to love one another, and you ain't got to compromise to build a great church. You ain't got to compromise to have a crowd. There's somebody hungry tonight. Somebody wants to hear the truth. I've been labeled a compromiser just because we have a good crowd. Well, that man, that church can't be that full, can't be running like that if that man's really preaching. Well, all I know, Brother Gerald, do is pull the wagon I've got to pull. I can't preach another man's sermon. All I can do is preach what God gives me. But folks, we're in a mess tonight in our country, how liberal we've become. We've got off this book, the Word of God. And so we see we're going to follow Him from heaven, the armies. Now, we ought to be an army united here tonight. This is our manual. This is our guide. He is our captain. And we're going for the glory of God till He calls us home. Listen, I don't know how many of you that I'll bury. I'll be honest with you. This is my spirit. I'll be here probably till I die. I believe that. All my heart, I believe that. I don't know how many of y'all I'll outlive, but I'll bury a bunch of you. Now, y'all could see me get buried Monday. But I can tell you one thing. I'll probably bury a good bit of you. But I want to say this tonight. We ought to be so united in our church family that when one hurts, we all hurt. When one shouts, we all shout. It ain't no big uns and it ain't no little uns. We all stand even at the foot of the cross and realize we are soldiers in God's army that's been called. We've got the battle plan. He said, go preach the gospel in all the world. And just share the gospel, love one another, and exalt Jesus till I come for you. Now, I don't know when Jesus is coming. But I'll tell you one thing, when we leave out of here, us older soldiers, I want to know there's some young soldiers coming up that'll stand on this book and that'll know the workings of the Holy Ghost in this church. Thank God. Hey, does these kids thrill you up singing on Sunday? That just thrills my heart. Singing about the blood and the wind. I'll sing them every Sunday if you're not careful. Now, I mean, they'll be the only ones I sing. That just thrills me to death, see these little ones singing. See them down. Have you noticed these little old bitty baby girls holding hands coming down at the altar? That ain't going on in a lot of Baptist churches, friend. It thrills me when I see ladies come and 20 ladies huddle in around them. If God ever does, let us knock this thing out. We ought to take about 2 pews out and make us a big altar in this church. A lot of churches are taking out altar. We hunting how to add altar. Thank God for it. Didn't we have a good day? Or didn't God bless us Sunday? God so blessed us. Boy, God's so good to us. The armies followed Him. Now notice what He done. The Bible said they followed Him upon horses, clothed, fine linen, white and clean. Things are winding down. Now out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He shall smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of Almighty God. He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now notice He hadn't fired a shot. He's not fired a shot. He is our captain, and He has destroyed them with the word of His mouth. Hold your place. Go to Isaiah 11, verse number 4. If you don't want to go there, I'll read it. I'll be right back. Isaiah 11 and verse number 4. Listen to what the Bible says. But with righteousness shall He judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth. And with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. He's not fired a shot. By the word of His mouth, by the breath of the mouth of God, He'll destroy all of His enemies. Hadn't even fired a shot. And all we're doing is sitting there riding. Boy, isn't that something? Have you ever seen a captain that'll go in the forefront of a battle like that and lead his soldiers and do all the fighting and the soldiers just lay to the back? Friend, that ain't the way it works in the world. The captain's in the back giving the orders and soldiers in the forefront, but not our Jesus. You know what? Because the battle is the Lord's. It ain't ours tonight. The battle is the Lord's. We battle the flesh and the devil, but friend, it is the Lord's tonight. Now, I want to ask you something. Have you ever really just wanted to get a hold of somebody and handle things yourself? God's ways, friend, ain't our ways. A lot of us was raised an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus teaches a new concept. Jesus teaches us something in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 9, trying to teach us to be like Him. And look, now He's going to win His enemies with His breath. He's not going to fire a shot with the words of His mouth as a sharp two-edged sword. Let me tell you how to win our enemies over tonight. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 9, He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart God that raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, verse 12, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you young Christians, you ought to highlight that in your Bible. Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 through 12. I want you to underline that. Romans 10, 9 through 12. And I want you to remember that. You always say, well, how do I lead somebody to Christ? Take them there, tell them what happened to you, and let God do His business. Now, Romans 12, watch this. Romans 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor or get away from that which is evil. Cleave that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. All right, what are we doing in missions? Verse 13. We're distributing to the necessity of the saints. We're helping our own, given to hospitality. Now watch, verse 12. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, don't run after the Jones crowd. Reach out to that old boy ain't got nothing. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. How can I get even with her? I'm going to show you how to get even with her. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, underline it, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Boy, it's easy to show ourselves sometimes, ain't it? Now, okay, I'm only preaching to three of you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath, for it is written, what? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, here it is, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Go buy him a candy bar. I know some of you put rat poison in it. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Most time, you know all your enemies wanting you to do is for you to act just like them. And when you act like them, you've come right down to their level. Anybody can act like them. Now, I'm not talking about rolling over and let somebody steal your children and your wife or taking your church over. But I'm talking about those that despitefully use you. Them on your job that make fun of you being a Christian.
Look what it says now. Thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Could you imagine your worst enemy at your job? Somebody's really harassing you. I mean, somebody that you see and you just, your blood boils. And I mean, you know, they really get on your last nerve. Wouldn't that be something if you walked up to them and you went out and you got you a burger and you come back and you brought them one with a good cold drink and said, "Here, I want to give you lunch today." You know how the best way to make a fire go out? That's quit putting wood on it. Any of y'all got a smart mouth? Oh, five of you do. Five. You ever notice something when your wife's had a bad day? She's a little snappy. And she snaps one time. You know what you do? You roll your sleeves up. Wouldn't that be something if you just say, "Hey, honey, sit down. Let me rub your feet a while." Wouldn't that be a blessing? Some of y'all look at me crazy. Try it. Wouldn't that work, ladies? Amen. It's going to say amen right there. Why, sure. Some of y'all treat them like they're a pack mule. Oh, I don't know why my wife don't ever have time for me. How many young is she getting ready for bed? And you sitting up there watching the outdoor channel. Watching the golf channel. Why my wife don't hold my hand? How much supper she cooked? How many she get ready for school tomorrow? Clothes ironing. What you doing, bully? Talking about overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Take a log off of. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if we all come to church house in harmony on Sunday morning? What kind of service could we have? What kind of service could we have if we do what this Bible says do? The authority of Christ, the avenging Christ. Now watch this. He comes back and he destroys this crowd with the word of his mouth. He's not going to fire shot. He's just going to speak it. And he's going to kill a multitude. Then he's going to set up a 1,000-year millennial reign. But there's something that's going to happen, what they call Armageddon. And we close tonight. Look now in Revelation chapter 19. And we see in verse number 17, "I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, 'Come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great.' And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which with he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Now, you've heard a lot about the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon's mentioned one time, Revelation 16:16. It's in the Valley of Megiddo. It's now known as the Kedron Valley in Palestine, or the Valley of Jezreel. The Islamic nations come to clash at Jerusalem. It's all about Islam, friend. It's all boiling down. They're coming against God's chosen people, Israel. They're going to meet in a valley. It's the main route used for travel between Egypt, Syria, and Mesopotamia. There's a great valley like a bowl, and it's their getting place into Israel. That's where this great battle is going to happen, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I want you to notice about these, all of these fowls. God's going to call all these vultures in to eat the flesh of dead men. He's going to call them all out of their nests. And they're going to come to that region of the country and they're going to devour them people that shook their fist in the face of God. You know, God's going to have the last laugh. Now, during this battle, God's fixing to set up a 1,000-year millennial kingdom right after this. And I want to deal with that in the next couple of weeks, what's going to go on in this millennial kingdom. But here tonight, I want to leave this with you. Psalms 2 and verse number 4. Now, notice he came back with righteous judgment. God right now operates by grace. God's still saving people. Heaven is open. But there's coming a day, friend, when God's going to have the last laugh. He's going to have the last say. And His vengeance is coming to this world. In Psalms 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Psalms 37, verse number 6. Psalms 37, verse number 6. The Bible says, "He shall bring forth our righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall be not. But the meek shall inherit the earth, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord," here it is, "shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." And then in Psalms 59 and verse 6, we find another passage of Scripture, Psalms 59 and 6, and he says, "They return at evening, they make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouths, swords are in their lips, for who say they doeth here? But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision." And then lastly, boy, this is a powerful statement right here. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. Tonight, God's pleading with sinners, but it's going to come a day He's going to laugh at the wicked because they've laughed in His face all these years. They said, "Where's the coming of the Lord? Hey, Christian, where's your Jesus? Is God really real? Why in the world would you believe in a God?" Them boys that's got them bumper stickers on there of that little old fish with them feet on it, believing that Darwin theory, make me want to spit on the ground. God's going to laugh at that crowd, friend. Look what He says, Proverbs 1, verse 24. "Because I've called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your fear cometh." God means it. Let me tell you something, friend. You don't use God like a spare tire. A lot of people think they do. And God is merciful. But let me tell you something. God's coming back with wrath and vengeance this day. And we're going to be in that army riding with Him. And I'm so glad that I'm going to heaven. Can you imagine the stables that God's getting ready with all them horses? Watch this now, we're going to be there. Can you imagine? Heaven opens. Jesus comes out on a white horse. He's dipped in blood. On his thigh says, "Lord of Lords and King of Kings." And behind Him there's waves as far as we can see of white horses of the saints of God. That's going to be us on them horses. And we're going to look up in heaven, and I believe all of them fowls is going to be riding out there in sight of you beside us. Can you imagine that? Preacher, you've been eating too many hamburgers. Now, I've been reading my Bible, friend. What a day. What a day. Can you imagine that sight? You think about the loved ones, Brother Tim, Brother Dave, Miss Sherry, you think about the loved ones we buried in our church is going to be in that formation with us. I'll be glad that old man of God wasn't made of Jesus. My Lord, can you imagine? He rides up beside me. He said, "Preacher, I don't know why you get so excited, so tore up." There's something about Jesus. Name of